All right, here we are in Cuba. We made it. It is definitely warm, but we're loving it so far. It's pretty crazy. We got a nice view from where we're staying, so we're just out. You got the music in the background. It feels real. So, Roland, what do you think so far about Cuba?
Well, it's a lot different experience than what I've ever experienced in different countries. It's
different
new experience.
Yeah, what are some of the different things?
Well, I've not really seen these type of houses and very I guess a little poor condition.
So it's day two in Cuba, and we're in this park right now waiting to exchange our money. This morning we went to a service. It was all in Spanish and there was no interpreter, but it was still really nice. You could just, I loved watching the people worship and just praying, and it was really cool even though we didn't understand a thing. It's really hot out, but we got water so it's not a big deal. So I'm really enjoying myself already.
They have a very fun way of playing baseball here. It's you don't use a bat, but you use your hand. You basically use a bouncy ball to hit it. And there's only three bases instead of four, so it was very difficult at first to learn since they didn't speak a single word of English. So we got laughed at a lot, but it was a fun time playing baseball with them. So far, Cuba has been a really great experience. We've been to a few church services so far. Couldn't understand a single word, but we still could feel God was present there. It's just an amazing time.
And last night at the church we went to, we both shared our testimony. And the crowd, we had a translator with us, and they were very responsive and like cheering and stuff. And the worship was awesome again. So.
Yeah.
And today we're going to the beach and
Yay.
Shopping.
We are down in a marketplace, kind of buying some souvenirs, gonna hit up a beach later. But so far it's been really awesome. We got to go to a church and minister last night. Just seeing their passion and worship, and they didn't care how loud they were being or, you know, dancing and making a fool of themselves or anything. The whole church, young to old, was jumping for every song. And I don't know, I just want to bring back that type of passion for God where we live. The guy who spoke, he wasn't the pastor, but he got up and he gave a message about what fruit do you bear, and he challenged them. He said, would you be willing to show your fruit to God? And is that, like, would he be okay with it, or is it chop it off and throw it into the fire thing? And he challenged those people who, you know, from what I saw, have lots of fruit, and I feel like maybe our churches back home don't have that same fruit and wouldn't put it there. So
Today we had a service, like, especially for elderly people, and what they did is they just had worship in the front and stuff, and in the back there were two tables. At one of the tables there, they could get physicals done and, like, measured and heart rates and blood pressure and that kind of stuff. And then at the other table, the women could get pedicures or manicures, and we helped out with the manicures. It was fun to try and paint their nails, and they just seemed really happy and excited about it. And then there were also haircuts being given at another table, and yeah, it was just really cool to see how they really seemed to enjoy it and have a good time. And there was karaoke, and they laughed at each other as they were trying to sing. And right now, there's some of us handing out bags full of soaps and shampoo and shavers and just care packages, basically, so that they can. Yeah, have a way to keep themselves clean and just to take care of themselves.
But one thing that I wanted to get down this morning that I was thinking about is, over this past week we've had opportunities to give away toilet paper to people. And to us, toilet paper, you know, is just this thing you have to buy and you have to have. and you don't even think twice about going and getting more toilet paper. But here, it's so hard to come by. It's really expensive. It's hard to find it at times. And so when we were able to give it away to people, their face was just like blown away that somebody would bring that to give to them. And I don't know, it's just such a blessing to them and to us. We don't really, you know, even think twice about having it. And I don't know, just maybe we need to be a little bit more joyful for the things that we have.
House churches are they're very cool because since the government doesn't always allow churches to be built, people still find ways to gather and worship God. So there's quite a lot of house churches that people will gather, even if it's just a tiny room. They'll fit as many people as they can, and sometimes there will even be people standing outside during the church service just wanting to hear more about Jesus and God.
So we've been going to a couple of house churches this morning, and they're all very different. Like, some of them are really nice and have lots of like tile and stuff, but others are just in a dark room or with just rock walls and stuff. But in each of them, the pastors are just really passionate, and it's really obvious to see, and they're just so excited and happy to have a place to even call a church. And I just love seeing that. The church we're at right now is the first church of Cuba. It was the first one built in 1950. And they're renovating it and stuff, and it's turning out really nice.
Well, it's Friday. We've been in Cuba for almost a week, and we're having an awesome time. One of the most amazing things to me is these things they have to have as house churches. There's only a few churches that were put in place back like early 1950s that can stand without having to be a house. They don't allow churches to be built anymore, so they get by with that by building houses so that they can have a church on like the first floor, or sometimes they add a garage so that they could have it. They go anywhere from just recently being built in brand new bricks to really, you know, just well done and working on it. A lot of them have hundreds of people that come and meet in the small room, and they have multiple services, and they jam pack everybody in, and it's just amazing.
So this morning we went to a youth service here at our host church, and it was really awesome. Andrew gave a message, and then one of the women here also gave a message, and they like went together really well, and they didn't even plan that. So it was really, like, God really wanted us to hear that. The worship was just really cool as well, and it just like brought me to tears, and they prayed over us, and it was just really cool.
I thought it was really interesting. It's very different than from back home. Everyone was very into the service, and it was also kind of half prayer, and everyone's very into it, and like everyone was praying for each other, and they all just seemed like one big family, and it was just a great experience.
There was also like dancing, like they had a dance team up on stage and like doing motions with the songs and stuff. They stopped to translate one of the songs for us, and that was really sweet. So at the youth service, it's just so strange how it happened that like we came here to be of service to them, I guess, but in reality, like, I'm learning so much more from them than what I could teach them. And they're just so giving and generous, and someone related to the pastor, I think it was, she came over and prayed over us, and it's like, we came here to like help you guys and pray for you, but they're just so nice that they do it to us too.
The pastor and just the pastors here in general, they are so humble. You know, our pastor that's been hosting us, Pastor David Morano, he's an amazing guy, but you wouldn't, you know, you just talk to him, you wouldn't even know that he pastors this huge church here in Cuba. He says, like, every day miracles happen in his life, and he talked about a miracle of the chairs that they have and how hard it is to get them, but God worked it all out for them to get here on time, and talked about them building their new church, and they needed 7 tons of rebar, but they didn't have all the money, but they were bringing it to deliver, and if you didn't have all the money, they weren't going to drop it off, but in the last hour before they got there, they raised another $350 just by anonymous calls and people showing up to drop off the money. It's just crazy that God works in that way, and he says it's nothing to us because God should be working that way in our lives every day. It should be in yours too. You know, miracles should be normal for a Christian. I don't know. It really, really changes you when you see other people living that way and know that we should be living that way.
One of my favorite things on a mission trip was probably the youth service we went to on Saturday morning, because we had the worship was really awesome, and the prayer time was really good too, and you could just feel the Holy Spirit so clearly and just so present, and it was really awesome, and I just could feel, really connect to God at that moment. One of the main things that I got out of this mission trip is that I'm gonna just go home and just enjoy, or I guess not worry about college anymore, and just be really thankful that I get to pick my major and that I could change it if I wanted to, because there in Cuba, the students don't get to pick what career they have or like what studies they do. It all gets assigned by the government. So I just feel really lucky that I get to pick all this myself.
All right, so we just came back from Cuba and we're on our way home now, so thought I should talk a bit about Cuba and what I learned from it. One of the things that stood out to me a lot is just how these people live there. Like, they have so little, but they just use so much from it, and they just have a really big passion for God, and they don't let anything stop them, and that just really stood out to me. Then there's a lot of things I learned and stuff that I could be better in myself. For example, like one of the things I want to try to do more is to be more thankful for what I have and just make the best of it. And everything else was just, it was an amazing experience. It was my first missions trip, and I'm sure that I want to do a few more missions trips in the future.
Not only were our lives changed, but we had a lot of fun while doing it. Pastor Matt wanted me to let you know that he's not here today because his family is on vacation in Ohio. He's actually speaking at his father-in-law's church this morning, so it's kind of a vacation for him, I guess. But he really enjoys that, so he says he misses you guys and that he's praying for this morning and that we would be praying for them as well. I just want to share a little bit about what really stood out to me in Cuba, and that's freedom. And I know that, like, you might be thinking, like, oh, yeah, because it's not free there, and so really the freedom here, but actually I want to talk about it the other way around. And so just stick with me, and I hope that this makes sense to you, because it's something that I'm still trying to grasp myself on how to articulate it to other people. But freedom, according to the dictionary, is the absence of necessity or constraint in a choice or action, just not having to do something.
or liberation from slavery or restraint or from a power of another thing. And I'm going to kind of start on a thing that doesn't sound like freedom right now, and then we'll bring it all back together. But Philippians 4, 11 through 13, you guys probably heard these scriptures before, but it says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, whether with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." See, turning to God in those moments where we're looking for more in our lives, or where we're struggling with being okay with what we have or where we're at, when we turn to God, it's that moment that we find strength. See, Paul was talking about how God gives him strength to just be okay with wherever he was at life. See, in Cuba, they live in a hard place. They have a saying that only somebody who was raised in Cuba could ever actually live in Cuba. Because if you weren't raised in that environment, you would just go crazy. It's filled with rules and restrictions that keep them from living what we would say is a full life. There's no such thing as an American dream like we have down there, because it's just not allowed. Some of the rules that, to me, it's just hard to wrap my head around are the locals, the Cubans. They're not allowed to eat steak or shrimp or lobster, because those are only for tourists. If they get caught with it in their house, or they order it while they're out, they can be arrested and fined. They are limited to everything that they own. If they have too many tubes of toothpaste or too many pairs of socks or things in their house and somebody decided to search it, they could get fined. They make very little money. The pastor that we stayed with makes $37 a month. The average pastor there makes $18. The average person makes about $20 a month. And you're like, okay, but that's fine. They're in another country, but things are actually more expensive there than in America. Our dollar is worth less than theirs, and everything is way more expensive. And so they're just not allowed to have things. It's almost impossible. They have 5 channels of television. That's all you get. And they're pretty much all the same things. Same stuff happens on it every day. They're not allowed to go fishing because they don't want them catching fish and being able to feed their family that way. They often just don't have access to things. Cuba doesn't bring it in. They don't put it in the stores. Cuba last year made a record amount of cement, but you cannot find it. The locals cannot buy it. It's nowhere to be found. But in their reports, they made thousands of tons more cement than they had in any other year. But it's just not available to them. While they were building, they're adding on to their church. They had to ask around for anybody who had extra bags of cement laying around so that they could finish it. Because of that, when you go into their grocery store, the shelves are maybe half full. It's just empty because they just don't have things to put on the shelves. They say that they have people that go and wait every day when the truck arrives just to see what new thing might show up there. And sometimes they buy them all to try and sell them and make money, or they call all their friends and they stand there and hold them all so nobody else could take them because things are just so rare when they pop up. One of the biggest things that hit me about maybe them not having freedom in Cuba is something that Lisbeth shared about how the government decides their future. When, I think in moments probably you feel like it'd be nice if someone just told me what I was going to do, right? But the pastor's daughter of the church we're staying at, her name is Lorena, and she's in her second or third year in university. And so they graduate their high school, and they get to write a list of 10 career choices that they would like. And she really, really, really wanted to be a teacher. She wanted to learn English. She wanted to work with kids because that's her passion at church. So she wrote down every type of teacher there was, but it only did 7. And you have to have at least 8 spots filled. So then she put pharmacy tech, and they picked pharmacy tech. And, that's so heartbreaking because you see her passion for kids and it's just not what she gets to do. But she was talking with another student, and I overheard her say, "But I'll learn to love it, because they have to." And that's what being content is about. She knows it, and listening to her talk and listening to her family, that they're content not because they're forced into it, but because they know that God has it there for a reason. "I can do all things through Christ" isn't about us. It's about God and making us okay with where he's put us. And she can do that, and she can learn to love it because of God. When we turn to God, like Philippians 4 says, it's in that moment that we experience real freedom. But when I was in Cuba, I experienced real freedom that I don't experience here. And it's hard to wrap my head around, because this is the land of the free, right? How can I go to a place that's so restricted and has so many rules and is completely governed in everything they do and find freedom? And it's because we don't live in freedom that God has given us, but they actually live in freedom that God created. Here in America, we live in man-made freedom, which is great. I would never discredit it. I would never ask for anything else. But that's not the freedom that God created for us. We fought for that freedom and we gained that freedom. But God has a different freedom that's greater than that. Everything man-made that we can come up with, every feeling, everything that we can try and do ourselves, will only amount to so much. But everything God has created for us is much greater. But we miss out on it, especially here in America, because we have so much opportunity that we tend to make our lives here and we say, you know, that's pretty good. I look at the rest of the world and they don't have this, so I'm pretty set. But God has stuff that's so much more wonderful. In Romans 5, 20 through 6, chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over the people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, and giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Well then, should we just keep on sinning so that God can show his grace more and more? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? I felt that going to Cuba would open my eyes to the freedom that we have in America. You know, and that's what I planned on experiencing there, being restricted and not being able to do things, and coming back to America and being like, yes, freedom. But my eyes were open to people who knew real freedom. And because of this verse, the idea of living free to show more freedom, like, that's kind of what we have. We're like, we're free. I can do whatever I want here. So that shows my freedom. But according to this verse, it's the other way around. And that's why a place that's so different from here could actually experience real freedom, because it's not in our freedom that we get the decision to be free, but it should be in our freedom that we get to choose to serve righteously. This freedom that we have in America is selfish. It's about us. It's for us. I mean, even look at the verse of Philippians 4:13 and how in America it doesn't mean the same as it does around the rest of the world. I can do all things through Christ. That means I can pass my test. That means I can win this game. It means that I can do this awesome thing that I want to do. I can get this. I can have that. But that's not what God was saying. It's actually the opposite. It's you can do all things, which means you can have nothing. You can have less. You don't deserve what you have, but you can be okay with it because of God. And we've got it all backwards. God's freedom is not about us. It's about living for him. And we've twisted it all around and we got it all wrong. It's a verse about turning to God to find contentment. Instead, we use it as a verse to declare that we can do more and that we can gain more. And that's end up how we show our freedom, by doing whatever we want. But that's not the life that God's called us to. And, you know, obviously not every Christian in Cuba is living perfectly. Talking to a lot of the pastors and stuff, they have struggles just like we do. But when you live in a place that's so restricted, and it's even wrong to go out and tell people about Jesus and to speak about him from the streets,
Like I said, they couldn't even build churches. They build houses and they give up rooms in their house. There's one of those pictures that it looks like there's a really small room, and it is. It's super tiny, and there was, I think, 30-some of us inside, and there was about 15, 20 people peeking in through windows around and is standing in the doorway because they want to be there. That's what they get to choose to do, and that's where they find freedom, turning to God. There's no way that they could live in a country like that, and so many people outside the church in Cuba realize, like, this is just a hard place. But those people who have found God have found freedom in midst of no chance at freedom. And those Christians, I believe that if they had the same freedom we had in America, they would be running down the streets telling people about Jesus. Because they've really experienced freedom. But we're okay with what we found here, this man-made freedom. But they live up here in a whole other realm of freedom that most of us will probably never experience because we settle with what's okay instead of going for what's great. Romans 6, 13 through 14 says, "Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under freedom of God's grace." In America, we have freedom, but we're still slaves to many things. We're slaves to our jobs because we want to have more things. We are enslaved to debt and those things that we tried to buy that we didn't quite have the money for. We're enslaved to the nice things we wanted to have or that we're trying to get. We're enslaved to our habits of shopping and our hobbies of having more stuff or having the greatest thing or having the best thing. We're in slavery to the activities that we sign up for. We're in slavery to our reputations that we're trying to hold to everybody else. And we're sometimes just even enslaved to ourselves because we're trying to be someone that God has not called us to be. See, the Christians in Cuba, they aren't caught up in that. And, you know, granted, it's probably because most of that stuff's illegal for them and they don't have those opportunities. But a lot of them that I've talked to count it as a blessing, because they don't get distracted when they come to worship God. They don't get distracted when it comes to living for God. They don't have other things to turn to that would keep them taking their eyes off of God. You know, and being there and experiencing that, part of me wants to say, wow, I wish I had that. And it was a huge struggle the whole week for me. And because, like, you know, I don't want that, but I think my spirit inside of me is like, that's what we want, because I desire God every moment and my flesh keeps looking to everything else. We look at verse 14 again, it just says, "Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace." And in our freedom, we should not continue to sin by serving ourselves, but we should freely go out and serve God. Philippians 4:13 says that with God, we can have the strength to serve him freely, whether we have lots or we have little. And when we look at that verse through the lens of 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18, which I'm going to read, it says, "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." We see that freedom is found when we turn to God. In those moments where we are looking for so much more out of life, or we're struggling with where we're at, when we turn to God, there's freedom from that. And that freedom is given so that we can become more like him. Changed from one step to another into his likeness. You know, I've just come to realize that we won't find real freedom when we are looking to ourselves to solve our problems, or when we're looking to other man-made things to try and solve our problems. And this is a struggle for me, like a real struggle. And I get up here to preach this and I feel bad because this is, I'm nowhere near really wanting to follow this inside, but I know that it's truth and I know that it needs to be shared. But I have a huge problem with being content. I love more. I like to see more. I want to travel more. I want to do more. I want to have more. And I don't think God wants to withhold that from us. I think that he wants to be the one that gives us more and not us trying to find it. And sometimes it may be less of the world and just more of him, but that's all we should really desire. But we get so caught up with being okay here when God's stuff is up there. Settling for the average score, the passing grade, instead of for excellence. God says that he should be everything to me. And in Cuba, I really met people who lived that because they have nothing else. I asked the pastor what his favorite food in Cuba was. And he said, rice and beans and rice, and con gris, which means beans and rice mixed together. Because they get that ration to them, and that's about all they get to eat. Because they can't afford to spend that money on food if they want to have a house or they have children. And so they have God. And it means everything to them. And you see it in their worship because they don't care what it looks like. They don't care that it's like a million degrees at least in those buildings. And we met at 8 o'clock at night because it was cooler. I don't know. The sweat pouring out of me would say it was not. They worship till, I don't know, I think we were 10, 10:30 at some of the places, and they would stay there longer. Majority of them walked from one city to another city to be there in rain or through mud or whatever it was, because God is really all they have, and it's totally worth it for them to get it, no matter what it takes. The church that that we stayed at was one of the bigger open Bible churches there, and they have a membership of 700 people. They minister to about 1,500 people a week, and they have nothing. You know, when we compare it to our church, it's nothing, but yet so many people desire to be there because they have something. They have the greatest thing. They don't settle to come because they have cool lights or good worship or nice sound and stuff, but they come because God's really there and freedom is really there. And that's what should draw people in. It doesn't matter what you have. And the craziest thing to me is one of the guys was telling me that a year ago they donated stuff to somebody else. Most of the people there didn't have more clothes than what I brought in my suitcase for that week. They have one outfit for church, they have one outfit for work, and one outfit for school or being outside. And that's about it. And most of those were hand-me-downs from somebody else. Yet, they gave an outfit. Everybody in their church gave an outfit or random things in their house to go to another area that's poorer than theirs. And yet, I look at my shelf and I have piles of clothes I hardly wear, and it's hard for me to get rid of it sometimes. Because it's not stuff to them. It's just whatever, because they have God. He's so much greater. Real freedom is found in being content with life. And when we turn to God in those moments instead of trying to serve ourselves by getting whatever we feel that we need, we will find freedom. And we will find the strength to continue to turn to God. Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let's stand. God, I just love you so much. I'm so thankful for what I have, God, but I don't deserve it because I get caught up in that instead of getting caught up in you. I pray, God, that you would give us the strength to be okay with as little or as much as you want us to have, as long as we find you. God, that in those moments where we find ourselves wanting more, that we would realize that we really need more of you and we just turn to you. That we wouldn't get caught up in all of this freedom that we have, but we would search your freedom. That we wouldn't use this freedom to serve ourselves, but we would use it to glorify you in everything that we do. That we'd use the freedom that we have to be able to go out on the streets and tell people about you, and that we would do it and that we wouldn't hold back. In a country that's free like this, that your churches should be overflowing, God. God, I'm so sorry for the way that I've lived. I pray that you would just help us to turn to you, to want you more, to desire you, to desire the excellence that you have for us, the great things, and not just settling for the good. God, because we know that when we turn to you and we try and excel for those great things, that you will give us the strength that we need to make it there. Help us to love you more. Open our hearts to desire you more. We just love you and we thank you so much. In your name, amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing about Cuba. There's a lot more stories, so find Roland. He has lots of them to tell you. You know, at the beginning of that video where he's trying to describe the difference, it's just overwhelming. It's hard to put in words. That's why I asked Roland to do it. Because I didn't know what to say either. So, you know, and I think there's so much more said than what he was saying because it's just so different. But there's so much good there. And so I hope that this message helped bring some of that home and that it could really change how we live here. All right. Have a good rest of your day. Find Jesus.